This is the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 140 for the week of September 7th, 2011.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. My name is George Albor.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious, but not humorless, analysis of video games and culture. And today we're talking about a game that I think I approached as thinking it was going to be quite serious, but it was actually quite full of humor.
Yes.
That game is Catherine. This is by Atlas, and this has actually already received quite a bit of, I don't know if critical acclaim is the right word. Maybe critical attention.
Yes, that's right.
Is a better term.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of fervor about this game potentially coming out in the United States when it was announced earlier, I believe, last year.
Yep.
The fact that it's sort of it was described at least and marketed to some extent as a erotic adult puzzle game.
And also sorts. Had the pedigree of the Persona team behind it, so people thought that it would have a social aspect behind it. The social linking is a big part of the Persona series, so this is also going to be a somewhat story-dialogue-driven thing.
Right. Yeah. Needless to say, people championed this game to come out in the U.S., and when it was announced, people were excited that we were getting something new and different and unique. And I would say, before we go into detail, without a doubt, it is new and unique and interesting.
And different.
And different. In some interesting ways, and we'll get to that. But first, I think, before we start talking about the story, which in my mind is probably the most defining characteristic of Catherine.
Probably the reason why most people played it.
Yeah, absolutely. The case. Certainly the reason why I played it. Let's get into the mechanics of the game, sort of how the game is built and made and run.
Yep. All right, blocks.
Blocks.
I heard you like blocks.
Well, it's basically Q-bert.
Yeah, it's like reverse Q-bert.
Yeah.
You're like going from, starting from the bottom of the pyramid and working your way up to the very top.
So it's basically a tower climbing game in which you pull out blocks to climb higher and higher up towards your end goal.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly a stressful experience.
Because as you go, the bottom of the tower continuously falls, so you can't really linger or else you'll just fall to your death.
Yeah. So, I mean, what did you think of just the act of playing the puzzle?
Like,
elements
the
themselves?
Idea. I think, like, we have to, we have to divide it up between the idea of it and the act of playing it.
There's a lot of things we need to chop up from this game, yeah.
Well, let's segment this into cubes for a second. Okay. So, like, the design of the game, I think, is great. Like, I mean, and this is not surprising, really, for anyone that's kind of gotten to know our personalities over the years. Like, I really like strategic thinking in a timed situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a game where if you had all the time in the world, you could just basically do it on graph paper.
Yeah.
But because the stage is continually falling beneath your feet, you actually have to think on your feet. And that means that you can't always do the optimal move because you're panicking.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's another skill level. Like thinking really critically and logically, like, it kind of makes you feel like a, like, I'm taking a Mensa test or something. Like, how many blocks can I pull in order to make a staircase? Sometimes I'm not so great about that stuff, but I feel better knowing that I did the best I could do under the time conditions I was given.
Absolutely. And it makes for some really riveting experiences.
Yeah.
There are times when, in a complete sweaty panic, I know my death is imminent, I make a breakthrough, and suddenly I go to a platform and there's a wall facing me, and I know this wall. I'm comfortable with it. I can climb again. And it gives you the sort of momentary reprieve between moments of panic as you're climbing over the entire wall, which is actually really compelling.
And just bursts of sheer desperation. Okay, all right, I'll just start pushing blocks at random and see if something happens.
And often the fates will decide that, yes, in fact, you've made a way to succeed. And, you know, you might consider that pure luck, but it does actually feel really rewarding in a sort of, I overcome this puzzle.
You kept your head long enough to not give up and fight till kind of the bitter end.
Right.
And
there are also times that I think are really interesting. And some of my favorite moments are when I realize I'm panicking, calm myself down, and go, okay, think this through, move the camera a little bit, try to see where I might be going, and then make those moves in time. That's really, I think, where the game shines the most.
Yes, and it's one of those, it teaches you that idea of even though you're under pressure, you always have a little bit more time than you think. Right. You know, like, it's never as bad as you think it is until it goes completely bad.
And then it's really bad.
And then it's really bad. Segmenting it into actually playing the game, though, like, the really nitty-gritty, like, how do the controls work and stuff, I thought was actually pretty janky.
Oh, yeah.
And this is hard to explain without having access to, like, the button values and the actual, like, how many seconds does a button need to be pressed down in order for that button press to register?
Right.
I feel like everything is just a little bit off in the game. Like, yeah. It takes a little bit too long to move right. Like, the attack button and the grab button are on the same button, which causes problems when you're trying to attack an enemy, and all of a sudden you grab a block by accident.
Yep.
Like, there's just a lot of weird little tweaks that could have been made to the game that would have really smoothed everything out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
especially, you know, there are some circumstances when you're climbing along the side of a block,
yes,
in which the directions that you push suddenly become really far more confusing.
Yeah,
especially with the camera angle, and when you're behind the entire tower itself, yeah, which on occasion you have to go,
yeah,
and you've completely lost any good vision of sort of how you progress. And they try to explain, well, once you're pushing right, keep pushing right.
Yeah.
But if you let go of right, mm-hmm, then you have to do something else. And it just sounds like an excuse for their sort of, yeah, really bad input method.
I mean, there's some issues because the camera is usually behind the main character's back, you know, mm-hmm, and so right is his right and left is his left. But once you go behind the tower, you know, left becomes his right and it gets a little wonky. It also depends, I'm pretty sure it depends on, there's a tipping point, basically. When the camera goes beyond a certain axis, that's when the flip changes.
Yeah.
And it's never really clear how close you can get to that axis before the controls flip. And so, like, there were some really frustrating parts.
The thing, too, that's weird to me is if I can't move the camera, then why am I able to move the angle or the...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I should just keep it. Left should always be left, according to the camera, not to the main character.
It should always be stage directions, basically, rather than personal directions.
Or otherwise, let me move the camera the entire way so I can correct my sort of perception.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some jank. Like these are... It feels like this is the Persona team. Like, I don't know what else the Persona team has done besides Persona, but this is really a huge departure from a role-playing game where the button inputs don't really make a difference, mm-hmm, and the camera doesn't really make a difference.
Right.
And you see, it gives you a greater appreciation for developers who only do action games, who, mm-hmm, really have to fine-tune the milliseconds it takes between movement and button presses, right, and stuff like that. But, I mean, a lot of, you know, other than the puzzles, a lot of the game also happens in a much more Persona 3 or Persona 4-like environment, where you're, right, in the bar talking to people and going through some dialogue options.
Right.
Structurally, how did that stuff work for you?
So much of this game is actually just cutscenes.
Yeah.
You know, some people I've heard describe it as a sort of interactive anime with then some weird puzzle stuff squeezed, mm-hmm, into there. And that's actually really quite accurate for what the game actually is. The decisions you make, they're not all that interesting, personally. To describe them a bit, really the main decisions you make are, one is how you communicate with your partner. Mm-hmm. You, of course, play the main character of Vincent, who is in a serious relationship with a potentially pregnant significant other by the name of Catherine with a K, and yeah, Catherine with a C comes in as a seductress,
yeah,
and seduces you, and sort of you get into all sorts of hijinks and troubles and whatnot.
So wacky times.
Wacky times. Well, so many of the decisions are like how you're communicating with them.
Yeah.
And that's always a little unclear what that means.
Yeah, because what the outcome of a decision is going to be.
Yeah, and then, of course, like all sort of games with morality meters, a little angel or devil comes, yeah, up and tells you, you're a bad person, yeah, for making this assumption that was completely neutral.
Yeah.
And then the other decisions, of course, are more sort of in between the stages of the main puzzle game. They ask you philosophical questions.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, none particularly come to mind.
Well, one was, you know, the classic one, I think it might even be the first question, was, does life begin or end at marriage?
That's right.
And there's... Would you ever wish harm on someone that you broke up with or something like that? You know, there's just a lot of
Yeah.
You know, like relationship and morality-based questions that they ask you every now and then.
And I should say, not everybody gets the same questions.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They actually have a list that I believe is randomly chosen.
Oh, I would have paid more attention to my questions.
I went online and looked up all of the questions. I was curious. And along those lines of those questions, it's interesting because some of them are really quite one way or the other. I sort of know and feel comfortable answering positively about it.
Uh-huh.
And then some are really vague. Like even the sort of does life begin or end at marriage is such a sort of bizarre...
Yeah, it kind of feels like the beginning of a bad joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like a old stand-up routine or something like that.
That's the sort of trouble with binary philosophical questions anyway.
Hmm.
You know?
Just like, in life.
Well, I mean, in life, no matter what, the point of those questions are to put someone in sort of a moral dilemma and say, well, you have to decide.
Yeah.
And then sort of see what type of conversation comes out of that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I think, really lend itself well to games, those sorts of binary questions, because you can't have those types of conversations about it, you know?
Unless you have extremely dense communication trees. And, like, this is no BioWare game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's only a few branches.
Or even if you encourage more communication outside the game, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I do think some games do manage to address philosophical questions well, but not Catherine.
Not Catherine. I spent a fair amount of time in the bar talking to people. Because I actually thought the voice acting was fairly good.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that it's the same crew of people that did the Persona 4, actually.
Yeah.
I think Toby was Teddy. I might be wrong about that, but someone could fill me in the comments, maybe. And so I talked to people a fair amount in the bar. There was some, again, like this comes back to how do you construct a game that achieves that oh-so-vague term of flowing nicely.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of weird load scenes. Like, you'll sit down at the bar, and all of a sudden it'll fade to black and then fade back in, and it's like, I don't know.
After a long load time.
Right. Yeah. Like, I feel like that could have been streamed in better or animated better. Like, there's just a lot of... It's not a very polished experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pacing is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. Well, those bar scenes can really drag if you listen to them all.
Yeah, and you could choose to leave early. I mean, theoretically, it's optional. But, you know, even if you consider the puzzles in the place of the overall game experience, you have some scenarios that are really high intensity, and then maybe you do a puzzle that's actually quite easy. Because the difficulty dramatically changes between puzzles and even within puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, there are times when I'll face a puzzle, go through half of it really quickly, and then get stuck for maybe 15 minutes just trying to overcome a small section.
Yeah.
And then keep going. And I feel like the whole game has a lot of starts and stops.
I feel like there's also there's a lot of different types of blocks. There's blocks that are icy, so you can't run on them. There's blocks that'll kill you with spikes. And so I feel like depending on what kind of player you are, you might breeze through some areas really quickly. And like if you're really good at simply making staircases, some levels will be really easy. But if you're really good at destroying things with bombs, some other levels will be really easy.
Right.
But it's not as elegant in terms of how it pulls everything together.
Yeah.
And up to close to the last level, they're introducing new blocks.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's never quite clear what is going to be carrying over and what isn't from stage to stage.
Although I would say I think I like the fact that they're bringing in new blocks regularly because it keeps it fresh. You know, and I think if I were to be playing any one stage for too long with the same sort of blocks that I'm facing, it would become tedious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I would say even the last level is tedious, you know?
The second to last level. Like, the last level, are you talking about the one where the boss comes and starts harassing you? Yeah. I think I did both of those with no retries.
Yeah.
Which was weird, because I expected, like, the game takes a sharp difficulty spike around maybe the 7th or 8th level out of 9. And so I was expecting level 9 to just be, like, me sitting there for an hour restarting.
Yeah.
But it was nothing. It just, like, blew right through it.
Yeah, it was strange. And I should say, I played the game on easy.
Yeah.
You played the game on easy as well.
You were saying, oh, you know, it seems like the story is the main thing. So I was like, all right, I'll just do it on easy.
I do. And, you know, I did some research about the game, and from a lot of reviews, people have talked about the game being very, very difficult.
It was pretty difficult.
And it was difficult already on easy.
Yeah.
I
mean, I think the main difference was that... you get an undo button.
Yeah.
And
which was huge. Yeah. And in my opinion, that made the experience better because there were times when I wouldn't have had the time to think about what I was facing intelligently. Yeah. And I have a far more fun and enjoyable experience if I get to think about the puzzle rather than if I'm forced to trial and error.
I'm now interested to see what would have happened if I did it on normal because I ended the game with like 99 retries. Yeah. You know, so yeah, it's like I wonder how strict it would have been. I'm assuming they probably would take away all the one-ups or whatever. You know, it would just be hard. I also think that not having the retry might have been even more frustrating because you would have just had to go back to the checkpoint every single time. Yeah. Another thing, back to the just the construction of the game. There's a multiplayer section of the game, which they don't really tell you about.
I wish they had told you about, because you can't play some of it if you've only beaten the game on easy.
That's right. So, like, I finished the game on easy. I went to play some of the co-op missions and realized that they're locked behind trophies that you can only get on normal mode, which they didn't tell me. Whether I would have just played normal so I could easily go into the co-op.
Yeah.
Again, a really strange decision that, and, like, I don't want to paint it with, like, a super broad brush, but this is the kind of shit that people talk about when they complain about Japanese games.
Yep.
Like, usability problems. Like, if an American multiplayer team took a look at this, like, if the Gears people took a look at this, or the Halo people, anybody, these types of problems just wouldn't happen.
And they're severe. You know? They're severe.
I mean, it's just, and it's kind of weird that these types of problems still do happen when we've already figured out the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I keep coming back to this, where there's just a lot of style in the game, and the substance of it is always a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. That being said, I was genuinely surprised by how compelling I did find the play experience itself.
Especially multiplayer.
Yeah, even multiplayer in particular.
I think the multiplayer was way more fun than the single player.
If this had come out as a sort of Xbox Live Arcade game, I think I would have gladly picked it up. Especially if I was given more leeway about how difficult I can make the experience.
But there's the trick. Like, we just talked earlier in the show that it feels like most of the people that bought this did so on, one, the pedigree of the Persona team, and two, a really intriguing plot.
Yeah.
So, like, if you just saw the, you know, they have you know, a whole game within a game aspect where you're playing an arcade game of moving blocks around.
Yeah.
If you had just seen that on Xbox Live, there's a million games on Xbox Live where you move blocks around.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe I just would have passed it on because I wanted some Persona Team craziness.
So, speaking of which, going into it, what were your thoughts about the sort of story and narrative elements?
You know, I read your stuff on it. I read a few of the other, our fellow Pop Matters people's stuff on it. I think it's pretty widely accepted that Vincent is just kind of a terrible person.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody likes him.
Yep. Yeah.
He's just kind of a douche. Like,
He's such a weak character.
Yeah. Exactly. Because the way that people use douche is kind of aggressive, like being a jerk. But, like, he's just kind of a spineless, apathetic, powerless, like, he just doesn't do anything.
And it got worse as the
game. Yeah, exactly. Like, I always thought it would get better.
Yeah, I thought maybe Vincent, well, he'll confront his issues, but everything, he's completely an app. And maybe it's the way I played it. I don't know. Theoretically, I could have been all one way or the other. But he is probably one of the most annoying characters I've ever encountered in a video game.
Yeah.
I mean this quite seriously. Like, I'm not a fan of Navi.
Yeah, you know? Way worse than Navi.
Like, I'm not a fan of a lot of, you know, the dog from Duck Hunt is pretty bad, but Vincent is just an absolutely horrendous character.
Yeah.
And frankly, all the characters in the game I found...
Yeah, they're pretty annoying.
With except for maybe Erica in the bar. Absolutely.
We should talk about Erica. Annoying. Yeah, we should talk about Erica later on. But, But the thing is, I actually, in a sick way, like, from an academic perspective, I kind of admire that there's finally a game with just a completely unlikable character that never really gets likable, maybe gets less likable.
Yeah.
Because so much of it is just, you know, we're so used to playing a knight in shining armor, sometimes literally. And so, you know, there's something to be said for making a statement with a character that you're not really supposed to feel that much sympathy for.
But it's I understand that, like, it is, like you were saying in the very beginning, it's refreshing. It's certainly a new experience. I give you that. But you know, there have been other characters. I don't know if any come to mind in terms of video game characters that I dislike.
Yeah, I mean, not to this extent.
The problem is, you know, even as a sort of bad person, there are antagonists with far more compelling storylines that I'd much rather play as than Vincent.
Well, that's the trick. Like, there are antagonists, there are villains and heroes, but this game challenges you to play as a nothing, a blah, a big gray blob of apathy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and it's irritating because he just doesn't do anything, and he's like freaking out about things that have a really clear situation. Like, maybe we should venture a little bit into spoiler territory here.
Okay.
I don't know. We could stop short of the precipice.
Okay.
Let's hang off the side of the tower.
Let's hang off the side for a moment, and then we'll get into spoilers.
Okay.
In case you're completely oblivious about the storyline of Catherine, as I mentioned, has a serious relationship with this woman who just kind of berates him and treats him like a child.
Yes.
And probably for good reason. And then I would say he gets seduced by this sort of temptress.
Yeah.
He doesn't act. We never see any scenes where he just wakes up with her in his bed.
Yes.
Right? It's not. Even that is just so spineless. Like, he doesn't. He's not even the one to initiate it. He's that weak of a character.
Yeah.
And he's got no story arc. Like, this violates some of the basic rules of good storytelling.
Well, I mean, they pack a lot of story into, like, the last half hour of the game, basically.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Vincent does not change.
Depending on what... Maybe we chose different options.
I would love to see... Yeah, I'd like to see what the options are.
But, yeah, so, like, Catherine with the K is his girlfriend. Catherine with the C is the woman he's cheating on her with.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Like you said, antics ensue. Oh no, Catherine with the K is coming to the door, and Catherine with the C is here. Ah! stuff like that, which is all pretty like standard fare for, you know, romantic comedy / drama, soap opera ish type stuff. And there's a cast of characters.
He's got some friends in the bar.
Yeah, like the Cheers crowd of people like that are always hanging out with him.
So I mean, to get into the sort of things that I was expecting from the game, right?
Uh huh.
As I understood it, it was going to be about some serious adult stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, marriage and relationship problems and sort of dealing with growing up and all of that. And superficially, it was actually quite a bit about that. It talked about marriage. It talked about what it means to be a man. Because it definitely feels like a game targeted towards men in a way that, you know, a lot of games are targeted towards men. But
this one
in particular is uniquely targeted in a very different way.
It's more about male socialization rather than male sexuality, almost.
Yeah, well, and the specific perceptions of masculinity from the designers, much of which I disagree with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won't go into too much detail here, but everyone in the game, all of the other men in the game as well, are troubled, whiny people whom Vincent sort of deals with and sort of tries to give encouragement to without ever sort of understanding and comprehending the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like as you play the game and as you're having these conversations, everyone is bumbling through their lines, you know? Like, they're doing things just because it's what they're supposed to be doing and not really
making that decision. That's life, man. Like, what? I mean, how...
It's absolutely infuriating. And the more and more I played the game and the more I thought about it, the worse it got.
Yeah, I mean, they're not... For my take on it is it's a very modern story. Like, these aren't people that you like, aspire to be. There's nothing heroic about these people. Like, this isn't like a classic story of heroes and villains.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, a bunch of people. And maybe that's why, I'm not trying to like read too far into it, but maybe that's why it strikes nerves. Because it's like, oh, well, this isn't that much different from the kinds of conversations I have with some of my friends sometimes.
The problem is, okay.
We're not that dumb, to be fair. But, you know, like, there are certain ideas, like, you just said it, like, bumbling through life, not really knowing what to do, when to do it. I mean, we're not as dumb as the characters are, but everyone can kind of relate to that. Like, oh, what am I doing? I'm not living a Norman Rockwell picture right now.
Yeah.
So does that mean there's something wrong with my life? And that's kind of the main thrust of the story.
Yeah. Okay, I think we should get into spoilers.
Okay. Spoiling it.
Spoiling it from here on out.
Did you end up with Catherine with a C or Catherine with a K?
I ended up with neither of them.
Oh, snap!
Maybe this is one of the reasons I was so irritated.
Maybe it was.
So I got the bad neutral ending.
Oh, man.
And this is one of the most... I just want to describe to you a bit
about what... Paint me a picture.
What was going on and what I thought was going on, right?
Uh-huh.
The entire game... I think that Vincent is an absolute coward.
Okay.
He's not confronting the sort of very unhealthy relationship he shares with Catherine.
All right, yeah.
He's not confronting Catherine with the K.
The equally unhealthy relationship
with Catherine with the C.
Yeah.
And so as the neutral path, you know, I kept going, well, I shouldn't be with Catherine. This is clearly not healthy for either of us.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm gonna entertain the idea of being with the other
Catherine
because there's no middle ground. I can't choose. Well, I'm gonna tell Catherine to stop calling me and stop showing up at my house naked, but also tell Catherine with a K that that relationship is unhealthy. There's no middle.
But did you try to, like, because you can text both of them.
That's exactly, so then basically that's what I did. I was going back and forth between doing things that I perceived as worsening the relationship with both of them, basically. And I generally stayed in that middle ground. And then as the game was going on, Vincent sort of has a, at least it seems like he's having a change of heart. Right? He's like, oh man, what am I doing? In all the cutscenes, he's like, I'm not realizing how valuable Catherine with the K is to my life.
Yeah, the cutscenes are very scripted. Like, you'll see the same cutscenes no matter what.
So he was whining about all these things, and he goes through the whole ordeal in the final puzzle where he's with Catherine, and he's apologizing, and he's going through all this stuff, and I'm like, wow, okay, maybe he is going to have a story arc. Maybe Vincent's going to be... Maybe he'll confront her and talk about how the relationship needs to be better instead of also what it seemed like he was doing, which is just cowing into the type of life everyone says he should have.
Just being swept along.
Swept along because he's still a fucking coward up until the very end. And then at the very end of the game, he's in the bar and he asks Catherine with the C to come up and he confesses his love for her. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from? Like, you just had this huge turn of heart, change of heart, and now you want Catherine with the C. And she's like, no, that's cool. And then he does something stupid. He runs into the street and gets hit by a car.
What? Wow. So he gets hit by... Does he die?
I don't know. I think you hear him crying for help or something. It's something... It's pretty silly. And a lot of the endings are very silly. But it just... It capped off the sort of inanity of, that the entire game is saturated with. You know?
Man. Like,
there's so many serious and interesting aspects of Catherine, but all of them are packaged with completely sort of trivial and uninteresting riffraff and bric-a-brac. They're just everything that is good and interesting about the game is surrounded by just crap.
Yes, that is very true. I mean, I'm just processing that ending as like what choices you must have. I guess you're just trying to push both of them away equally, and you end up with nothing.
Well, but
there's also a good version of that ending.
Yeah,
a good neutral version
where he goes into space or something.
Yeah, he goes on to the space tourism thing. That
but see, even like, that, like so much of it, and I wrote briefly about this on Pop Manners and the sort of the way that the game addresses connectivity and masculinity. And I think it's very telling that the only way for Vincent to be his sort of own person is to leave all of mankind behind. Like, you cannot... There's no way
just
the game is
suggesting... Just goes into space, the final frontier. Like,
and
that's it.
Like, and no one's out there. Like, the game is, to some extent, saying that the only way for you to ever truly be your own person, or even have any sort of backbone, is to completely disassociate yourself from everybody. That's a ridiculous notion, in my opinion, and in my belief system. You know? Like,
man, you had a really existential experience. Like no, I mean, I don't mean you personally, but I mean, like, your storyline was just like a... The universe is uninterested.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, there's nothing.
And I just felt like so much of the game was so uninteresting, and maybe it is because of the path I chose. But, you know, if the cutscenes are as scripted as they seemed to be, even if I'd chosen one way or the other, I still would have absolutely despised Vincent, and still would have think he was being a coward and an idiot and and a child.
You want to know how my Vincent...
Yes, I do, yeah.
My Vincent had a better story arc than your Vincent.
Catherine with a C?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Forget Catherine with a C. I hate Catherine with a C. She's terrible. I think mostly because I hate her voice. It's like a really shallow reason. And it's just also because she's just freaking annoying.
Well, she's so... And the weird thing, too, is like she's showing up at your house.
Yeah, like, exactly. I was like, that's not cool. Get out of here. Like, I'm all about Catherine with a K.
Yeah.
So I just went full force, try to salvage Catherine with a K relationship.
And how did that work out? Did you feel like Vincent was actually putting in the effort to salvage that relationship?
Well, towards the end, it gets better. Because one of the last levels is... Vincent and Catherine with a K are escaping cooperatively up a tower of blocks, which
a potentially emotionally resonant experience
for me. And
for
it
you,
was,
maybe it was
because
not for me.
Afterwards, Vincent is like, "All right, I'm going to explain everything," and he sits down with Catherine with a K. And well, first they break up.
Yeah,
like they completely break up, and he gets one of his friends to text her to meet up at the bar. Under the auspices of meeting up as a group, but it's actually just meeting up with him because she won't talk to him anymore. And so he lays everything out. He says, you know, he doesn't really explain it very well, but he says, okay, Catherine with the C never existed.
Yeah, she was a demon.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't say demon, but he kind of couches it in the way that someone would couch it if they had like a hallucination or something like that. So he was like, oh, I talked with the guys, I talked with the bartender guy, with Erica. Like, Erica never saw this Catherine the Sea person. Like, it was my fault. Like, I was just going crazy.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because Catherine with a K never actually sees Catherine with a C.
But the thing is, though, doesn't that still come off as sort of an excuse? Like, does he still apologize for his actions? Because
he keeps on saying, oh, you know, I'm sorry for all of the stuff I put you through.
Because, like, I cheated in my... I thought I was cheating on you.
That's what he said. I mean, there was a line where he says something like that. Like, mm-hmm. I always... I cheated
in my heart or something.
Like, I couldn't... Even if you hate me, I couldn't bear not having told you this.
Yeah.
And so... Then after that, they get married, and there's a big wedding sequence at the end.
Oh, good for him.
In the bar.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, they go through this whole thing where, you know, it's late game, it's revealed that Catherine with a C, which, I mean, we all knew this was coming because she had little sheep horn mm-hmm. pigtails and stuff. Like, she's actually a demon kind of seducing him.
Yeah.
And the boss, who is the bartender, is some kind of elder demon or something that is trying to make it so that, which, I don't know, like, all this stuff, maybe it's just because we're in our late 20s and kind of, like, uncomfortably close to where Vincent is in our lives. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there is something really interesting about an elder demon that breaks people up that aren't having kids.
Yeah.
Because, that's the kind of, you know, Norman Rockwell painting thing that we're all trying to not get trapped in.
Yeah.
And it's fine if that's what you want to do. Like, if you want to, like, I have Facebook friends from high school that already have, like, 3 kids.
Yep.
And, like, that's cool. That's fine. But the idea that you're being forced into it is something that we don't buy into anymore.
Maybe that's partly why the game rubbed me so wrong.
It's a good villain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think even the game treats it like a villain.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're right about that's sort of Norman Rockwell, sort of culturally accepted norm that we're trying not to be trapped into. And it's certainly something that I've been vocal about with a lot of people, the sort of, you know, my understanding that, you know, that issue about whether or not getting married and all of that, you must do in order to live a full life as a sort of good, normal human being, you know? As I was saying, I don't think that it's necessarily a good villain, because I think the game is actually saying that, yes, in fact, that is what you should be doing.
I was thinking about that, and this is kind of where Erica comes into play. Erica's the...
bartender.
She's like the waitress slash bartender. And she actually used to... Either, I don't know if she had a complete sex change or if she is just a cross-dresser.
I did not pick this up even a little bit.
Oh, I told...
Where did people see this? I heard this when our compatriots over at Pop Matters did their Catherine podcast.
Well, I can confirm this because my wife was suffering through this in the same room as I was playing it. And I told her, no, the game won't end until it's revealed that one of these two characters was originally a man slash woman.
Mm-hmm.
I said either Toby or Erica is going to be either a woman who is now a man or a man who is now a woman.
What is the purpose of that reveal?
The purpose of that reveal is that Erica was seeing the nightmares.
Oh, really?
And so, you can easily skip over it. Maybe it's you can skip over skip, it even I by not it. Talking to her or something. Because, at a certain point, she says something about the nightmares, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that must mean she is either cross-dressing or the way that... And they all say, oh, she disappeared for a year in high school, then came back. And so it's like, oh, this is someone who's... This is a transgendered person. And so... And my other guess was that Toby was going to be a transgendered person because he was kind of like the innocent, naive person.
And he wasn't having the dreams.
And he wasn't having the dreams because he was younger than everyone else. And he was buying into that idea of trying to settle down and get married.
Yeah.
And so the sheep god didn't need to punish him because he was doing his reproductive duty, basically. And so even the transgendered person was being punished because that person was bucking the system.
Yeah.
You know, that person was also experiencing the nightmares because that person wasn't conforming to the male-female dichotomy.
That's such an uncomfortable...
It is, but what other game does that, though?
No, you're right. It's crazy. I'll give you that. No other game does that. I mean, the whole game, I was like, dude, just get with this Erica person. She's the coolest person in the whole damn bar.
Then Toby.
Cool. Yeah, she's cooler than Toby.
Then Toby and Erica get together. In my game, actually.
Yeah. They do get together as well. Yeah. I mean, it's such a weird thing. You know, and there's so many characters in the bar, and they reappear in the dreams. And Vincent is, I think, far more interesting of a character in the dream world. Mm-hmm. You know, the conversations he has with the other sheep and the way that he tries to raise them or morale.
He becomes a leader of the flock.
He becomes a leader, and he's a far better person. And then none of that is exhibited in the real life circumstances.
Yeah.
And some of the storylines, like with the journalist and the sort of person he inadvertently got killed through telling a story.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of that stuff is really interesting. But, you know, it's so patched together.
Yeah.
And so sort of difficult to get into, and it doesn't really feel like the game gives even that much respect towards those types of stories, you know?
Yeah, I
because
mean...
Because they become other sheep. They become other men who are being punished for something, when really, like, the most interesting thing about them is not the fact that they're having these dreams. It's that they're dealing with sort of emotional trauma that has nothing to do with the fact that they don't want to get married. But just like the demon and just like the game, they don't care about that side stuff. They just want to, you know, usher these people along the sort of predetermined path.
I mean, yeah, a lot of... Because all those characters eventually end. They all die in the dream world.
Well, so no, that's a... apparently you can save some of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either until recently.
Maybe I knocked them all off in the dream world.
Someone was saying that you could save them. I don't... Maybe someone who's listening knows, but I didn't actually know that till the end.
Well, I mean, Vincent's friends all survive, like Orlando and Johnny and all.
The journalists, I believe, survived in mine.
I don't think he survived in mine. He was gone. I think maybe all. I think everyone. Like, died. I remember thinking that the bar was really empty by the time I finished the game.
Maybe you were just a cutthroat asshole. Maybe when I was climbing the game.
But you know, Vince and Catherine with K got married at the end. So
yeah, I mean, the weird thing about Catherine is that I do think it is super interesting because there aren't many games that talk about these issues, but it's also pretty much garbage.
Well, but I mean, depending on how much longer you want to talk about this, we can go into where was the juncture where it could have been fixed? Like how could it have been salvaged? What was the point of no return where you tumble off the blocks?
I think the moment, the shining moments that I think shine through that every single time I saw it, I was dissatisfied, was the phone responses that you can have with Catherine, both Catherines.
Yeah, both Catherines, yeah.
You could type in and then change what you said and type in them again. And every single time it was something that was just like, this was not a good or thought out text at all. Mm-hmm. Or even worse was most of the time it was like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry, this is at least what I typed. Most of the time what I typed was, yes, I know, I'm a pathetic asshole, we'll talk soon, we need to talk this out. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't. Never follows through on any of that. And just... It compounds on things. And again, I think the majority of the reason I so dislike the story of Catherine is Vincent as a character. But, you know, everyone else is included in there too. There's weird stuff. Like, one of his friends you see in the dream world, and he mentions that he's sleeping with his best friend's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Whom we never see, that's never talked about or confronted in the game.
Yeah.
We are,
I thought that was going to be something, like, with...
I thought so, too.
I thought all the men were going to be sleeping with Catherine with the C.
Oh, I thought I thought he meant Catherine with a K.
Oh, okay. I interpreted it a different way.
I made that presumption. Like, he's probably sleeping with Catherine with a K. Erica doesn't have a...
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, the wrong guy, right?
Yeah, Toby and Erica got together in my playthrough. They got together early. Yeah.
So maybe he was sleeping with Erica?
Or maybe they wanted to or something. Maybe they didn't want to, because they all knew Erica in high school before she had her sex change, or at least her gender identity change.
Either way, it's sort of another example of people who are dealing with an emotional trauma, and they never can confront it except for in the dream world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. It might not be very satisfying, but for a certain segment of humanity out there, that's just life, you know, like that's how it is.
It's not a documentary, though. Like, what is the point of it, though? What are we supposed to be getting out of Catherine?
Well,
if that's something that we can even say, besides just the fun experience.
Yeah.
What is the point? I mean, like I said, I didn't have much of an arc for Vincent. I just don't get why I'm supposed to care for anybody.
Well,
and what sort of message I'm supposed to get out of it.
Again, it depends on what. You know, Vincent in my playthrough had a better character arc, and he actually decided to get married. He decided, I'm going to marry Catherine.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, it's not a great trajectory, but it is nevertheless a character arc. You know, what you can take away from it is, I wish I knew the original Greek saying, but like, it's something like, you know, be kind to everyone. They're all fighting their own battle.
Yeah.
And so like, there's something to that, like, seeing all the people, what they're dealing with behind the scenes in the dream world that you don't really see in the bar very much.
But that's the thing, though, is, like, he never helps them. Like,
it doesn't matter that he doesn't help them. I think it's a less...
sort of, like, mutual sympathy. Like, we all go through this.
But yeah, it's not really... It doesn't really offer many solutions, depending on how you play it through. It's just to show what is kind of lurking under everyone's conscious surface out there. And it's not necessarily very profound. I mean, oh, hey, everyone's worried about relationships.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the universe, everybody. But I mean, you know, not many games deal with that very explicitly or even implicitly. It's strange because I don't really I tend not to like a lot of modern stuff like that, mm-hmm. like kind of white people complaining about their problems type thing. Like, yeah. I mean, there's a whole genre of movies. It's called mainstream movies,
right?
Which is just like rich white people problems.
Yeah, Sideways.
Yeah, I mean, like every single movie that's out there where the protagonist has a great apartment in a great city,
mm-hmm.
and I can't. Oh my god, I can't decide whether or not to get married. It's like, okay, great. Well, let's see what's happening in the war.
Quote unquote first world problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it's like it's a first world dilemma game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you don't really get many dilemmas in games, period.
Yeah, certainly emotional and relationship dilemmas.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, it's weird to see a kind of nihilistic take on that. Like, there's mm-hmm. there's nothing really heroic about this at all.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for me it was something where I came into this with certain perceptions about potentially addressing adult themes,
mm-hmm.
and I was really let down and really disappointed by Catherine.
Hmm.
And then compounded with that are the sorts of messages and sort of very gendered, I guess, notions or perceptions or arguments that the game is making
mm-hmm.
about all of those subjects,
mm-hmm.
most of which I disagree with.
Yeah.
You know? So it was like, okay, here's a game that I was hoping it would be this. It's not only is it not that, but it's being even worse in these other ways that I dislike, you know?
I kind of looked at, I forget the big boss guy's last, you know, his true form's evil god name, but, you know, the boss, yeah. you know, the real bad guy. I looked at him as much more separate from the message of the game.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, he was clearly making everyone's lives miserable.
Yeah.
For kind of no reason.
Yeah.
And so and it was probably because of the way my playthrough ended. Why I ended in a more optimistic route, you know?
But the problem is the morality meter, right? Like, no matter what you choose, even those philosophical questions, the game judges you by them. You know, it tells you the more lawful good thing to do is be with Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And the game, I believe it's between chaos and order. You know, and saying,
yeah.
if you want to be truly chaotic, you have to be all on your own.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that there's, again, that the middle ground is so dissatisfying.
Yeah.
It just sort of compounds the idea that, at least in my mind, that even if the bartender is sort of excluded from that whole message, there's other things in the game that convey that same message. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the fact that not only you're being judged by the morality meter, but then you're also being sort of meta-judged by the statistics of other players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you disagree with the majority, like, that's a sort of, you know, it's an interesting...
it's also people trying to game the system as well. Like,
yeah.
people, I'm assuming... And we've heard developers talk about this, why everyone likes to play through to get the quote-unquote good ending.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of people try to game the system to get the noble choices yeah. rather than the evil ones.
But even if you don't use that, like, you could use the offline mode.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing offline, it'll show you statistics that were independently taken
mm-hmm.
and then lets you divide them up between men and women.
Yeah. I always wanted more granularity in the statistics.
Yeah, like, it just...
Where they came from, what countries they took these statistics in.
Right, yeah. Because the fact that we're supposed to be taking what they say with a grain of salt,
mm.
I mean, is not conveyed.
Mm.
Or the fact that, maybe you're right, maybe they're not trying to say the messages that I got from them,
mm.
but it feels to me like there's so many aspects that convey... You know, even at the very end, when you're sort of big-haired hostess,
yeah.
talks about sort of like, oh, what do you think the allegory was?
Well, that shit pissed me off, because that was just like... That's just blackface. Like, I mean, like, that's like, you know, blaxploitation, but put a white woman in an Afro wig. Like, and I don't know, that kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
But I just think that sometimes that's like, you get Japanese games, they're not as culturally sensitive to American...
Yeah.
you know, mores and stuff like that. It's just, that kind of stuff really irritates me, but that's just kind of a personal quirk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anyway, the fact that she was talking about, like, what, did you get it? Did you understand
yeah.
that, like, the block is his inability yeah. to overcome,
etc.? I thought that was just trolling.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. So do you think that they thought people were dumb enough not to,
I do,
like,
yeah. Actually, I do. Yeah. I 100% think that they thought people
yeah.
were dumb.
Uh-huh.
I think that they thought that.
Huh.
Because so much else of the game is just covered in that.
You mm-hmm. know,
it's covered in the sort of very, I mean, I guess biased is maybe the wrong term, but, like, the aesthetic or the storylines that they choose to tell, you know, is
mm-hmm.
that is both inane and, yeah, and biased, I guess, to some extent.
It's funny when they put you in the first level and they talk about the properties of the blocks. Like, you can push a block off into open air, but as long as it's touching a corner or a side, actually, as long as they're parallel with each
mm-hmm.
other, it'll stick. It'll stick to the edges.
Right.
And so, and they even, the narrator says, like, you know, they'll stick to the edges. Then kind of the sub narrator will say, like, don't think about this too hard. Just do it. It'll work out. And so, like, they kind of acknowledge a lot of contrivances with the game
up
front. And I feel like maybe that gave them the license to be really on the nose towards the end, like you were saying. You know, they got this idea of the fourth wall, literally, because you're actually looking at the game through through a screen. There's a little fake little company logo on the upper left-hand corner of the screen when you're doing stuff. So they kind of took the fourth wall thing a little bit too far, maybe. Maybe for some people's tastes.
Yeah.
I do think that, I don't know, I wish I had more statistics on this, but I think that some people will be quite disappointed with this. I saw a lot of people that I respect and people that I kind of expect to play the same types of games as we do, you know, kind of run in the same circles. So I'm like, oh yeah, I bought the special edition pre-order of Catherine. And in my head, I'm like, why? Like, if you know nothing about this game. And from what I've seen of it, I saw the Giant Bomb guys play the Japanese version of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, people are going to be pissed off when this comes out in the United States, because it is not Persona.
Yeah.
And so, like, people buy these crazy special edition, like, Love is Over edition, and it's kind of this weird, somewhat janky, irritating game. And maybe that's the joke is on everyone else, but...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any interviews with any of the designers. I would be interested in reading sort of what they were going for.
Well, it's hard to get those Japanese teams to...
to open up.
Yeah, and also just to translate everything into English so we could read it.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see how they thought it all turned out.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, again, I don't know, because I was thinking, you know, who would this game be for? If I thought someone would enjoy it, who would enjoy it? I mean, I think I've made myself clear, but I really disliked Catherine quite a bit. I mean, the most compelling thing by far was just the puzzle mechanics themselves.
Yeah. Erica was all right. I think she was probably the best character.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, that was cute.
I mean, she was at least down to earth as far as, like...
Yeah, no,
Johnny was okay.
Yeah, I agree. Friends, the bar stuff in general wasn't actually all that bad.
Catherine with a C, though. Ugh. Super annoying.
Yeah, everything.
I liked Catherine with a K. That says something weird about me.
Or my wife. That's the thing, is there is a lot of, I think, interesting depth in the game in terms of talking about it. You know, like, seriously, if you enjoyed this conversation, I know we're going a bit long, but if you've enjoyed this conversation about Catherine... by all means, listen to the Pop Matters Catherine podcast, because they spend a great deal of time talking about femininity and what the different Catherines represent. That is really ripe for discussion and really quite interesting.
A lot of literary history going behind it. Plus you have Chris, who's like a literary dude.
Yeah, who also does, absolutely.
I want that. I want more multiplayer. That's what I wanted. That's a shame. They bury this multiplayer like way far down underneath all of this kind of single player stuff that is, you know, I could... take it or leave it.
I'm telling you, you have to dig deep for the good stuff.
Well, that's just another layer of the Catherine metaphor.
Okay.
Shall we wrap it up there?
Let's wrap it up, yeah.
Well, if you are interested in giving us any suggestions, thoughts, comments, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
We also encourage you to leave your thoughts in the comment section to this post. The site is experiencepoints.net. We update every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. Also, popmatters.com is where we write and where you can find all a bunch of other good Catherine writings and discussions.
Let us know if you ended up with Catherine with a C or Catherine with a K.
Or Erica, and some bizarre twist of fate.
All right, until next time, take it easy.
So long.